If you didn't get a bulletin, you may want one. Did you get one in? You didn't get one. Mike, I don't think you got one either. Okay, and there you go. Good evening. All right. Okay, good evening. Okay, all right. Just to remind you that commitment cards can still be handed in. Some people wanted to hand them in later. Last week, we did our commitment weekend, and we got about $16,000 in the offering and $125,000 in commitments. And I know that even though it's $16,000, it was, I want to give it a little press. It's much bigger than that because we've had people from about June handing in the gifts. And as soon as I started talking, so it's really more like $30,000 or $40,000 that we got in the offering. So I just think that's really neat. Also, last week, now I didn't say Wendy's name. She does the e-bulletin. Remember when I was going through all those? I still didn't capture them all. So somebody said, well, you didn't say Wendy in the e-bulletin and in the kids in the gym. So, Wendy, thank you for doing the e-bulletin and the kids in the gym. The building's going up, and on the back of your bulletin, you will see that we're going to give tours tomorrow. We're going to take people through. So when the service is over tomorrow, if you're around somewhere around noon, 11:30 to noon-ish to we're going to be out there till about 2, you can come by and we'll show you where everything's camped out in that pattern. The whole structure's up. Other than that one piece, you know, that little octangular picnic area, all the rest of the framing is up. So that we can see right where everything's at. So it's pretty exciting. You want to do that. We're back in our study on Philemon, and if you turn with me to chapter 4, I have no slides tonight. If you don't have chapter 4, you just turn to the back of your bulletin, and right below the little picture there, it's in white, okay, on the dirt of the church, okay? While you're turning there, I've been thinking a lot about when I came back from the evangelism conference in Branson, where Clyde and I went to for about 3 days to listen to people talk about advancing evangelism and telling people about the gospel. And I keep thinking, and it's just stuck in my mind, I keep thinking about the 3.5% of people in this area here to go to church, and the other 96.5% don't go to church at all, which makes us one of the most unchurched spots in the nation. And I look at that, and I realize that, and I've mentioned this over the last couple of weeks, that I want to bring some of the missions back here. We do foreign missions, and I want to bring some of the missions back here, and so the elders have made a decision that as time goes, we're going to try to get up to a 50% level on each. But last week, some people walked away thinking I said that we were going to fire all of our foreign missions and just do home. So that's incorrect. Direct miss on that one. Okay, we're going to keep our missionaries going, but we're going to start taking a little bit extra and moving it back towards home. So I have this burning in my soul that I want to share with you tonight. But let's find our foundation here. Let's read our passage in Philemon chapter 1, or chapter 3. Okay, I just wanted to see if anybody's awake. Philemon doesn't even have chapters. Okay, Philemon 5. Hearing of your love and faith, or your trust, which you have towards the Lord Jesus Christ and towards all the saints. And if you remember, before we went to the 4-week series on building our future, we were talking about the fact that in the United States, when you say you have faith in something, it means almost nothing, right? 85% of the nation says they're a Christian. Do they have the faith that it takes to be a Christian? Absolutely not. They think they're born into it. And if you remember, I had even preached a sermon on Bolden, how he was on a tightrope over Niagara Falls, and some people from England came, and he was going on there, and he says, do you trust that I could take a man over this tightrope all the way across Niagara Falls in a wheelbarrow? And he said, yes, I do believe you could do that. And he said, hop in. And when he said, hop in, all of a sudden faith went to non-trust. And in our society, if we say we trust in Jesus Christ, that makes more sense. So hearing of your love and trust, which you have towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints. That the sharing, and this is our word for fellowship, partnership, participation together of your trust may become effective or operational by the acknowledgement, and the word in the Greek there, an acknowledgement means a spiritual awakened knowledge. It's a word that Paul made up. By the full, I want to say full knowledge or true knowledge or spiritually awakened knowledge of every good thing, or all the good is what it literally says, all the good which is in you, Philemon, and we have to apply that to us. All the good that is in us in Christ Jesus. Every good thing within us becomes operational because we understand it spiritually and totally trust God. I love that thought. That our trust in God becomes operational as we partner together. And we trust in the spiritual knowledge that God's given us to accomplish His purposes. So we have to ask the question, what does that look like? Loving God and loving people. That's the vision. As a community of believers partnering together and working together to accomplish God's purposes in unity. It's got to be in unity, doesn't it? But the thing I am coming to grips with is that if you do what God wants you to do, it isn't without a fight. It just isn't without a fight. As I have looked at our first leg of the mission statement that we have, and mission means how do we get there to loving God and loving people, I've been contemplating on the phrase building in, or bringing in. And as we contemplate on building this new building to expand our church and our ministry, and I look at it, and then as we looked out there in the dirt, and all of a sudden the church building starts going up. And I mean, wasn't it all of a sudden? Wednesday, there was nothing there, and Thursday, there was some racking, and Friday, there was more, Saturday, there was more. Now we get all the way to this week, and the whole basic skeletal structure is almost done. They've just got a few more days on it, and they'll be putting on the roof. And I look at that red iron coming out of the ground, and it's exciting because I don't know about you, but I lost almost all hope. I didn't think we were going to ever get through the county. And it occurred to me today as I was standing out there, it's coming up. It's going to be built. Nothing's going to stop it. And the obvious thing has occurred, and maybe it's not as obvious to do yet as to you yet. Just keep hanging around Christians and it will become very obvious to you that we are now in spiritual warfare. And you might say, well, Steve, I don't get it. Why would we be in spiritual warfare because we put up a building? Because Satan doesn't like what we're doing. We're a little too unified. And I begin to see the spiritual warfare. Carolyn Roy wrote on the front of your bulletin, down in the blue part, and I don't know if the lights are light enough for us old folks or not, but I'm going to read this to you. She had written this article, and it was, I think it was all the way back when we first bought our church property. And every time we've made a move like that, we've seen spiritual warfare. And Clyde recently was going through some files and found it. It was on a typewriter. They hadn't even got a computer yet. And let me just read this to you because it's, I think she capsulizes basically what I want to say tonight. Most of us realize that Harvest Fellowship was given birth out of a vision, much prayer, and a deep desire to do God's will. What we probably aren't aware of is that sometimes obedience to God involves much personal sacrifice and pain for those who are willing to commit to the Lord's work. As there is intense pain and work in childbirth, then great joy in seeing the fruit of our labor, so it is with harvest. We have experienced tremendous joy in witnessing the work that God is doing here, but we must continue in earnest prayer for our leaders as God's work advances. We enter deep into enemy territory and become an even greater threat to the enemy. Let us prepare for combat, because he does not fight fair. Isn't that true? Please remember to pray for our leaders, each other, existing ministries in the church, and the ones developing. Luke 18:1 says, Jesus said, we are to always pray and not lose heart. Acts 6:4, we will give ourselves continually to prayer. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, brethren, pray for us. And my prayer is that we will. Isn't that a neat written letter by Carolyn Roy? 1998, I think, is when that was written. We have been preparing for some time, and I believe the fight is on. I believe, as Carol so aptly put it, let us prepare for combat. You know, today I got on the phone and I was talking to Clyde because he wanted to see what the progress was. Now, Clyde's not here. He went down to Arizona because a friend of his passed away, 88 years old, and he trusted Jesus Christ with Clyde at 86 and had two more years on this earth and passed away. And so he is doing the, actually he's probably doing the memorial service. I think it's in the evening as we speak. And he said, last night I went to sleep, Steve, and he said, I dreamed that a motorcycle gang, an evil motorcycle gang, was chasing me. And they chased me all over the countryside, and I ran and ran and tried to get away. And he said, finally I stopped, and I thought, I've just got to face these guys. And so he said the leader of the motorcycle group came up to him, and there was no doubt in his eyes they were going to fight. So Clyde decided in his dream he's going to take the first swing. And so he swung, and as his fist went to hit the guy in the head, it went right on through his head like it was transparency. And he realized, even in his dream, that the leader of this motorcycle gang was not made of flesh and blood. And the gang leader said to Clyde, Clyde, you know you can't hurt me. And he woke up. There's a little more to it, but he woke up in, I see truth in Clyde's dream. I see truth in listening to it, because we do not battle against flesh and blood, and yet that's all we know. Isn't that true? That's all we know how to handle is flesh and blood fight. And, you know, I don't know about you, but there's so many times when I just like to get up and take a spear or get a gun or something and kill off the enemy because we want to do it for Jesus Christ, but it doesn't work that way. We are fighting against powers of darkness that would stop us and shut us down. And I'm telling you, in the last couple weeks since that first stick went up out there, I've been watching it in different pockets. I have seen the battle begin, my friends. Little fires lighting up all over the ministry. People believing the worst about each other. Arguments breaking out. Relationships getting hard. And Friday, I thought to myself, good heavens, Lord. What is happening here? Because what I was seeing was so far out of the realm of logical or usual, I realized, wait a minute, this is not right. And you might be looking around and saying to yourself, what is he talking about? And others are saying, I see it too. And it depends how involved you are in the process here. But that's the way spiritual warfare is. You can't see it. It's there, but you can't see it with your eyes. And trust me, there's a spiritual attack going on like crazy. Now, please don't let me scare you if you're kind of new to the faith. Spiritual warfare is something that we're in all the time. We're just pretty much too stupid to see it most of the time, or we're just not recognizing that it's there. And I'm not talking about demons under rocks. You know how some people, man, they can find a demon under every rock and everything's about demon and that kind of thing. I'm not talking that. I'm talking, I think, according to Scripture. I've watched meltdowns of relationships happen that confound me, where people are want to quit, or they want to quit their ministry or that kind of thing for absolutely no tangible reason. And these are our best days. There is always welfare. There's always welfare too. But there's always warfare. And I believe that the evil one is afraid of us. Now, you may not think of it that way, that he's just an attacker and a deceiver and a railer, but he gets scared of the potential of the threat of good Christians, and I think he is threatened by us. Building a church from the ground up, stepping up our evangelistic outreach, moving forward, expanding the ministry, creating great children ministry, organizing and communicate. And you heard last week the list that's in your bulletin this week out of our church. Why wouldn't Satan be upset? Why wouldn't he? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 if you have your Bible. I have that on the back of the bulletin as well. You just have to hold it up high towards one of the lights. Because any time we move forward in the kingdom of God, we have to deal with our enemy, and he is actively at work looking to scheme against us. That's what the scripture actually says. The wiles of the devil, the schemes of the devil, fooling us, veering us off track in our quest to serve. Listen to this in Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, I want you to stop and look at that verse again. Be strong in the Lord in what? In the power of his might. So again, it isn't a physical fight. We can't be strong and tough. That's not what it's about. How do we do that? Well, James says we draw close to him and the devil flees. Well, that's not what I want to hear. I want to hear that we could combat a little bit. But draw close to God and the devil will flee from us. When we are weak, then we are strong, Paul says. So he says, put on the whole armor, the whole weaponry of God. Now notice that it really means weaponry. It is armor, but it is also weaponry. Put on the whole weaponry of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the scheming of the devils. And the devil means slanderer. For we do not wrestle against what? Flesh and blood. But against principalities, rulers. Against powers, authorities. Against the rulers, world strengths. Of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, God's dwelling place. You know, I don't know if you ever think about that, but warfare is going up in heaven. 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor, the whole weaponry of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Okay, now, I want to point something out here. It does not say charge. It does not say run. What does it say? Stand. We just have to keep our ground. That's how we win the war. There's a battle going on, and it wants to rage against us and anyone who claims God as his own. And by George, you better not be dangerous in the kingdom of God. Because we are getting too close to the fire, so to speak, for the wicked forces to be comfortable with us. If we would just sit back and say nothing and do nothing, and turn this into a country club, then we'd be okay. We wouldn't have to fight a spiritual warfare Turn with me to Daniel chapter 10. Now, Daniel's one of the minor prophets. You have to get through the middle and then head to the right a ways. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and then you'll find Daniel. Turn with me to Daniel 10. Boy, you talk about purpose, fighting spiritual warfare. You know, I was talking to Aaron today, or I think it was today or yesterday, and one of the things that we talked about and realized is you never have straightforward advance in the kingdom of God against spiritual wickedness. It's always a hard, there's obstacles in the way, there's things there. There's darts coming in at us. God knows, Satan knows our every weakness, doesn't he? I mean, it doesn't take very long before you go, oh my goodness, I can't believe I did that again. That's just the way we are. So I want to bring you up to speed with what's happening. Daniel in Daniel chapter 10 has been praying for 3 weeks that God would give him understanding of a vision that he had. And the vision was so horrible because it was about the end times that he was sick. And he was without strength. And Daniel is standing by one of the main rivers there, and an angel is standing there, all gleaming. It talks about his brass and beryl, which is a crystal, very beautiful, clear crystal. And so this angel is standing there in front of him, and look at 5. He says in verse 5 of Daniel 10, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of upaz, and we have no idea what that gold looked like, but it was the place that the Bible mentions where the best gold came from. His body was like beryl, like a crystal. His face like the appearance of lightning. His eyes like torches of fire. His arms and feet like burnished bronze in color. And the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. Now, what would happen to you if you had somebody standing in front of you like that? I think we'd probably faint, huh? And so Daniel becomes faint and he falls down. And 10 says, as suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man, greatly beloved. Boy, wouldn't you love to hear that from an angel? O Grant Ritchie, greatly loved by God. Wouldn't that be awesome? And he said to me, O Daniel, man, greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. And now the angel's going to talk to him in verse 12, and I want you to look at this because I think this is how we fight spiritual battle. Verse 12. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you, what? Set your heart to understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. So what did he do when he first got the vision? He set his heart to understand. He humbled himself, and then he prayed. Those three things. He set his heart to understand. He humbled himself, and he prayed. And what do we do in warfare? We do the very same thing. We pray. We set our hearts to understand. And then we humble ourselves and are strengthened by the Lord's strength. Because we don't have the strength to fight this fight on our own. And so the angel said to him, I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I have been left alone there with the two kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. When he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face towards the ground and became speechless. What could he say? I mean, what would you think if an angel came and said, you know what? You know that prayer you prayed 21 days ago? It's taken me 21 days to get here. Now, there's a lot of theology in here I want us to think about. And that is, when we pray, we don't get immediate answers, and we go, gosh, man, why don't we get it? Why doesn't God answer my prayers? Because we want to stick it in the microwave and push the button, don't we? And here's a huge thing. It was a vision that he was needing to understand, and Satan did everything within his means to keep the Word of God from becoming the Word of God. And so he fought the angel for 21 days until Michael stepped in his place so he could be released to come and talk to Daniel. We need to pray. We need to understand what's going on. We need to humble ourselves before God. And I think as this building goes up, we really need to pray. We really need to understand what is the weaponry we have, and then we need to humble ourselves and take on the Lord's strength and not our own. Amen? So we get back to Ephesians 6, verse 14. It says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth. That's number one, is we have to walk in truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, you've been made righteous. What does Paul say? That we've been made righteous the moment we believe. And we have to remember, we're righteous. And have shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We need to know how to share our faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith, the shield of trust, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now let's look at that for a minute. Faith quenches the darts. How important is faith? Oh my goodness. And take the helmet of salvation, understanding that you're saved, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and you take your Bible and you read it, and then you look at verse 18, and it says, praying always. Now, I did a sermon on this a while back where all these ing words all connect to stand. And so Paul is making praying one of the pieces of armor, even though it doesn't fit anything. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We pray. We understand what we have. We have the armor. God has already put that armor on us, but we forget, don't we? It's very easy to forget. We think, well, there's not much truth going on. I don't feel very righteous. I don't like sharing my faith. Man, sometimes I just don't trust very well. I forget that I'm saved. And I don't always read my Bible. Isn't that where we are as Christians? And we have to stop and think, wait a minute, we got to reverse this trend. The question is, will you reverse the trend? Will you begin to live in truth? Will you begin to accept the righteousness? Will you begin to prepare yourself for the gospel? Will you begin to exercise faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you remember that you have salvation? Will you read your Bible? And will you start praying? Because if we don't, that's going to go up and we're going to have one heck of a time. And if we do, we're not going to have any problem at all. So I come to you tonight as the prophet, telling you, read your Bible, pray, humble yourself, and understand what God's given you, and the devil will flee. Spiritual warfare is suddenly hindered, and we are protected if we do what God tells us to do. I love it when Paul says this in closing. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life to which you were called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight by standing. Standing firm. Let's pray.